Hello. How's everyone doing? All's well. Isn't that exciting? We're launching. Stuff firing off. Rockets red glare. Wrong country. Whatever. It's all good. So, a very good friend of mine told me something the other day. And I'd like to pass it along to you, because I believe what he said to be true. He said, "You're here for a good time, not a long time." That's gonna be a good song. Someone should make that. I just couldn't help myself, I was over a Mandarin service, and I love to speak over at Mandarin service. They bring me like cold drinks and hot drinks, and there's like awesome drinks. And here I got nothing. This place blows. Where's my drinks? The writer said I should get drinks. Anyways, I'm going on, and I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm saying half the time. And so I'm just doing lyrics to songs. And I know that you would know, but they don't translate well. And so I'm over there, and I'm talking, and I'm doing this song from Journey, and it's just got going anywhere. And it's just terrible. And it reminds me that it's not so much what I say as opposed to what you hear. Because, Jesus loves you a little bit more. Thank you. This is great. The day is looking up. And so the what you hear today, carve through the stuff that doesn't make any sense and just pretend it does a bit, and then take the parts that you like and apply them, and the parts that aren't you don't like so much, maybe it's just meant for you and you're a stubborn-hearted person, or that wasn't meant for you at all, and there's no way to know the difference. And that's the beauty of me. But enough about me. Thank you. I was reading through a Bible a couple weeks back. I was loving this story of Balaam, and we're doing this launch series, and I wanted to head in with the story of Balaam, because half of you like identifies with the guy, and the other half is like, don't do that, don't do that. And so I wanted to pull out some interesting parts of Balaam's story, recorded in Numbers, parts that make sense to you, great. There's 4 points to this. Hopefully a couple are for you. Numbers 22. 4-7. So Balak, son of Zippor, who was king of Moab at the time, sent messengers to summon Balaam, son of Beor, who was at Pethor. That is some fat, fat rhyme right there. Near the Euphrates River in his native land, Balak said, "A people has come out of Egypt. They cover the face of the land and have settled next to me." Switch his side to give attention to this side. So Balak... No, that's still the same one, isn't it? And there it is. "Now come and put a curse on these people, because they are too powerful for me. Perhaps then I will be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that whatever you bless is blessed, and whatever you curse is cursed." The elders of Moab and Midian left, taking with them a fat, fat stack of cash. The fee for divination. Jesus, open our ears to hear what you have for us today. Lord, we want to receive from you. We want to keep our eyes upon you and what you have for us. And we're excited to hear from you. Lord, open our ears, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So what's going on? You got the Israelites coming out of Egypt and then the neighboring countries freaking out. Okay, so they just railroaded over the first army and group of people they saw. And so the next country in place in Moab, they're like freaking. They're like, okay, this isn't good. They laid waste to the last one. What we need to do is get the man of God to come and curse them so that maybe we stand a chance against them. Lay down a curse, because whoever he curses is cursed, and whoever he blesses is blessed. But Balaam's working the land, doing what he does for his fee of divination. He's blessing people. He's making people that don't have children being able to have children. He's crops that are dead. He's bringing stuff back to life. He's a prophet and working as the hand of God. He's blessing the people. He's blessing the rains down in Africa. And all this is going on, and the king knows that if we get this guy in, he can lay down a curse on these people. Maybe we'll stand a chance. So he assembles his top entourage. He gets the entourage all together, turtle, they're all in. Brings this big wad of dough. Says, we need you to come curse these people. Now, Balaam heard from the Lord. Interesting story, because Balaam, so he wasn't a Jew, wasn't an Israelite. I wrote down my notes. Where is he from? He was from Mesopotamia. So we have someone who's outside of the general normal circle, and he's from Mesopotamia, and he hears from God. And when he is speaking, things are happening. And so first, you're like, how does God been using people that aren't necessarily inside of his fold of what he's doing? But that's an interesting part about God, is that God uses all sorts of people for all sorts of reasons, the least of which I could barely explain because I don't understand it myself. You see, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus comes onto a scene in this world where he has to work through the people. That's me. That's you. He has to come through the sinner saved by grace. That's me. That's you. Jesus is using and calling everyone. 1 Corinthians 1:26 to 29 says this way, brothers and sisters, think of what you were before you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of this world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of this world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things in this world and the despised things and the things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. So thinking that I have to be a certain way before God can use me, mistake. Thinking my perfection is required before God can jump in and work through me, incorrect. You can be, sometimes we're thinking about this calling of God and that it's you know, there's a professional level to it. And let me tell you straight up, there is not. I have an REV in front of my name. I have 5 years of post-secondary in theology. Meaningless. I left seminary going, I don't know anything about God. God's so big. This idea that being a professional at something makes you better at it is an error. God uses everyone. God takes on every interesting case. It's funny, I was down in the States a couple weekends ago with my friends Zach and Noah, and there is this professional crew of slew boat racers. Now, we are in, it's right beside Nowhere, Nowheresville. It's a little place called Podunk. It might as well be called Podunk. It's really irrelevant what it's called. It's about four buildings that make up this city. And we're there to witness the slew boat racers, the professional slew boat racers. Now, this isn't amateur league slew boat racing. What a slew boat racer does is a jet engine in what is it amounts to like an aluminum, rowboat. Put a big jet engine in it, put on a roll cage, and race it through mud ditches at 80 miles an hour. Slew boat racer. I love America. And so we go down there, and this professional slew boat racer, the very first race, the pro, his whole job is got to get the boat off of the trailer into the slew. He's a professional. This is this guy's job. We think, oh, he's a pro. You got to put it in reverse, floor it, boat pulls off the trailer. The professional didn't put it in reverse. He has it in forward still. Floors it, launches the boat off like a missile, comes straight out of the water and lands on top of the Jeep that was the trailer, put him in. We were watching all this happen. It's like, this is like the thing that you see on the YouTube for like a fail armor. You just like, it's so ridiculously wrong. Now everyone was safe, because I know that's your first concern. Just kidding. Everyone was safe. I just know that it's not your first concern. Boat launches off, lands on. We're just mesmerized what we see. We go down. We're taking selfies. And, like, we're so exciting. We're losers getting pictures beside losers. It's like an inception of losers. So much fun doing this thing. But that's a pro. This is a professional slew boat racer. This isn't an amateur slew boat racer. This isn't just some novice that fell off the slew truck thing. He's a professional slew boat racer, and he can't get it right. How is it that we beat ourselves up sometimes about working for the kingdom and volunteering for the Lord and engaging in the life of God, thinking that I need to be more, I need to be better before I can jump in? You do not need. You can jump in right where you're at. You see, while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for you to intervene in our lives so that there could be a new chapter for you, for a new chapter for me. This is how it works. So instead of beating yourself up, I need to be a certain way, then I will engage. Engage where you're at now with what you have now, and you'll be the better for it. You need to recognize, if you want to launch yourself, recognize that you are called right now. There's a gentleman who often will sit in the back area there, Arden Robertson. And just in the paper this week, so for those of you young folks, this is the paper. We used to write things on bashed up papyrus leaves, and I don't know, actually I don't know how paper is made, but anyway. He's written up in the paper, says this, and he's a member of Calvary. 59 years later, Surrey Volunteer still spends every Sunday with sick kids. Arden Robertson. At age 88, he still makes weekly trips to the health center and also volunteers many hours at a senior's residence. He says, it's not about me, really, he said. If in my life I can encourage others to be a volunteer, that's a goal of mine. So he's 88 and engaged in the kingdom. He, you know, this thing can pop up. Well, if I was, I was going to leave that for the younger folks. No, don't leave it for the younger folks. Regardless of how old you are needed and a valuable part of the kingdom. And Timothy said, on the flip side, let no one despise you because of your youngness. Receive the information. Let no one look down on you from the low side. Everybody has a place, and everyone is valuable. And so along comes in this situation with Balaam. He's been hired to curse. You're like, I'd be hired to curse, like a sailor. Balaam's curses actually happen. God uses them in this way. I don't understand it, but God uses them. He blesses, and people are blessed. The chief officials come, and God says, do not go with them. Whatever happens, you do not go with them. Balaam says, I can't help you out. I can't curse these people because they're blessed by the Lord. I can't help you. You can go back and tell your king. Balak is like, oh man, I need this guy. He's like our best cursor. Let's send an even bigger stack of dough and even more prestigious people, like our Instagram models, because they're more important, like our really high-level people. That's just, again, some things are for some of you. Don't worry about it. Receive the information. Let's see, our high-level people, fat stack of dough. Balaam says, well, why don't you guys just stay the night, and then we'll just hear what the Lord has to say this time. Stays the night. Lord says, if they come to you in the morning, let's read it through in the NIV translation, the if condition. Read this from the, so this is the New International Version. That night God said to came to Balaam and said, since these men have come to you to summon you, go with them, but do only what I tell you. Now, this is an interesting thing of why you just read the Bible for yourself. It's many amazing stories in there. This is an alternate version from the King James Version. Same verse. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. Except for the confusing part of the end. The big gigantic difference is the if that's excluded out of the New International Translation. The King James Translation says, if he comes, if the entourage comes in the morning and says, let's do this, then you can go. What Balaam does is the morning comes, he throws saddles up his donkey, he's like, all right, guys, let's go. It's recorded through elsewhere. We see in Jude and in 2 Peter, they left the silent or the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. Balaam had his eyes on the Benjamins. He was all about the big bank cheddar that was coming from Moab, and his eye was on that. So the Lord said, if... Balaam just saw that big, juicy stack and said, okay, boys, let's get this job done. Let's go curse some people. And that if condition comes to us in our lives where there's a set of convictions and conditions that are set in our lives that if violated, you step out of the will of God. So the God throws in the if. Balaam just sees the cash, and God is cheesed. He is angry. Balaam goes regardless. You see, this thing can happen where if you play with your convictions like a toy, like a little McDonald's something, I don't even know where that comes from. If you play with the things that are dearest to you, there is a time to pay the piper for that. And so sometimes we don't like to get in and talk about, the wrath or judgment, because it makes God sound like, he's angry all the time. So why does this condition exist? Because God knows I'm not going to curse these people. They're my people. I'm going to bless them. I'm only going to bless them. But Balaam doesn't listen. He plays with his moral. He plays with his convictions. And God is angry about it. Gets on, saddles his donkey. He's heading out with his donkey. And God is so angry, he sends an angel down. Angel down. Angel's got its sword. Ready to do Balaam in. Like, cut him down on the road. God is just so miffed about this. I told you, don't go with these wicked people. I can't curse them. Balaam sees the cash. Let's go, boys. Jumps on the donkey. Angel on the road. This is where we're at. All the tension's building. Balaam can't see the angel because Balaam can only see the money. He's blinded to what God is doing because he can only see what he wants to see. That's for some of you. This idea, though, then, that the donkey can see the angel. And so the donkey is supposed to be going down the road doing his donkey thing. And he's like, we're not going that way. And he takes a veer. He goes off the road out into the field. And he's just like, we're not going that way. Because the donkey can see the angel with the sword. The donkey's getting out. That donkey is trying to protect Balaam. He's trying to protect himself. And Balaam is like, you stupid donkey. And he just lays down this donkey beating. Whatever, some like PETA rant, you worthless piece of skin carcassy donkey. I don't know. You know what? Whatever. He's whipped up. He's angry. This donkey's veered off the path. He's like, now I look stupid in front of all these guys, my dumb donkey. The thing that is protecting him from death, he's laying the beat down on it. They get back going. Donkey is still on the angel, pushing against a wall, trying to get past him, creeping against the wall. Says Balaam's leg is getting crushed. His foot's getting crushed. Second time through, you dumb donkey. Beating this donkey, just smacking the tar out of it. You dumb, worthless donkey. Second time through, the donkey is the only thing preventing him from death. Is the only like the donkey is loving Balaam and preserving him and keeping him away, but he beats it a second time. The thing that is loving him silently, and he's treating it like garbage. Third time through, the angel's like, whoom, into this corridor area. Donkey's got nowhere to go this time. It's done. Donkey's just like, just kind of falls over and starts crushing Balaam's leg. Third time, you piece of garbage. You're so stupid. You're making me look like an idiot. And then the angel opens up Balaam's eyes, and he can see. The donkey turns and talks to him and says, what did I do to you that you should treat me like this? It's like Shrek all over again. There is no waffles in the morning. It is just, you beat the crap out of me. What did I do? The donkey says, have I ever done anything like this before? Balaam's like, no. Well, why did you beat me then? And sometimes with that call, with all of that, you fight the thing that is actually protecting you the most, that loves you the most. It can be very challenging to hear the will of God from someone else. Some things I can talk to you about, some things I can't. Balaam couldn't see the Lord. The donkey could. Balaam was blinded by his love for the greenbacks that prevented him from seeing what God was doing. And the thing that was guarding him took a beating. Now, this can happen in your own life. I know you'll talk with like a parent. It's like, you know, my kid is on me about whatever, and I'm just trying to do the right thing. I don't know. Maybe you're a control freak. I don't know. Maybe it's possible. Maybe the parent is actually just trying to help you because they love you. Maybe they're not the worst person on the planet who's trying to kill all the joy in your life. But if you treat the things that love you like crap, expect a pile of crap to talk to you. And that's just for some of you, but maybe not for everyone. Keeping your eyes on Jesus distracts from all the other stuff that jumps up in and around you in life. If you want to launch to that next step of what God has for you, it's different for everybody. You need to keep your eyes on Jesus. We have prayer time. We love prayer time. We always encourage small groups. Make sure your small group has a time of prayer. People come into the office, hey, can you pray about whatever thing? Someone was in asking, hey, I got this job opportunity. Can you pray with me? I'm like, I can pray with you, but on some of these things, I'm just a bystander. Well, maybe you hear from God about, I'm like, nope, God doesn't talk to me about that stuff. I'll pray with you because I love you. But there's a whole mess of things that you need to seek the Lord yourself. And the best advice I can possibly give you is to teach you about looking for the Lord yourself instead of thinking that someone's going to come alongside that hears from God and speak to you like the donkey. You don't want Balaam's donkey talking to you. Now, Pastor Steve, I'm looking to move to a new area. What should I do, Pastor Steve? We don't know. Pray with you, love you, but we don't know. Pastor Brad, he is so beautiful. Pastor Brad, I've got my eyes on this boy. He was like chiseled from the Rock of Gibraltar. His eyes, Pastor Brad, they're deep blue, like Windex, or I don't know. I'm not good at this. Like Gatorade. I got nothing. That I can help you with. Does he love Jesus like you love Jesus? No? Okay, then I am hearing from God for you. The answer is no. The answer is run. That's the devil. And if that devil is too harsh for you, then at least let's agree he's a demigorgon. Or some sort of male succubus creature. I don't know what they're called. I don't know. How am I supposed to know what a male succubus is called? I don't know. It's not possible to know all that. But that's what he is. She's so beautiful, Pastor Brad. She smells like apricots. That, unless she loves Jesus the same way as you do, she's not for you. That I can't help you with. Other stuff, you need to directly search the Lord and seek him yourself. As the best advice I can give you is keeping your eyes on the Savior and get your eyes off the stuff. And so the sin of Balaam, for him, it's about this. But for you, it could be something different. And I don't know what that might be. But keeping your eyes on Jesus, I know, will keep you satisfied. Some closing thoughts. Trying to keep God happy and trying to keep the world happy. Numbers 24. We're going through, finally, Balak and Balaam meet. The donkey death is averted. The king gets to meet Balaam. He's like, great, you're here. Did you get my big stack of cash? Great, I sent it along in advance with all my models and all the rest of it. Here it is. This is for you. Now let's go get some cursing on. Let's go curse some people. You know what I'm saying? Fist bump. Get up to this high place. Build up some altars. Get some sacrifices. Get some fattened calves. Some rams on the go. Some oxen. Burning sacrifices. Okay, now's your chance. Hear from the Lord. What does the Lord have for us? And when Balaam opens his mouth, the Lord said, he's going to fill it. Balaam can only speak what the Lord is telling him. So he says, bless his people, bless his people, bless his people. And King Balak is freaking out. It's like, what are you doing? I paid you to curse these people, and you're blessing them. This is what he does. Let's try that again. Take two. Let's go find a higher place, a little bit better place. Maybe Grouse Mountain, something a little nicer. Build up the altar. Let's build up some altars. Let's get those rams going. Let's get the fires burning. Woo! Let's hear from God now. Take two. This one's got to be better. Balaam, blessing Israel. Blessing Israel. Blessing Israel. Blessing Israel. Balak is losing his mind. What are you doing? I brought you here to curse people. Stop it. Let's try it again. And unrelenting. Let's try it again. That wasn't the answer I wanted to hear. Let's try it again. That wasn't the answer. Let's try it again. Third time. Let's go to the super nice spot. Let's go up there. We'll get some altars going. We'll cook up some sacrifice. It can be a good time. A little party up in the altar city. Blessing Israel. Blessing Israel. Blessing Israel. The king is flipping out. What are you doing? They go through this process repeatedly. We have at least seven recorded speeches from Balaam. Prophesying blessing, blessing, blessing. But on that final time, he couldn't curse what God had blessed, so he added a twist. He said, I won't curse them, but I will tell you how they can curse themselves. Okay, now you got my attention. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get all your babes, all the hotties of the land, as far as the eye can see, just hotness everywhere. I want you to give them amazing food. Okay? Food that's been sacrificed to idols, all that animal sacrifice food. I want to give to all your babes, and we're going to send it in to the army, and they'll just blow up from the inside. They'll forget their God. And so it gets recorded through in Revelation 2:14. Jesus speaking, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. The pressure to cave is relentless, and you will be pushed again to compromise, and you'll be pushed again to compromise. But if you want to launch yourself to that next step, you must realize that it's going to cost you something. You want to go to a new level, a new place, something better than where you feel you're at right now. It's going to cost you something. You decide on which way that cost is going to happen, but it will cost you something. Keeping your eyes on Jesus, number one, will help you launch. Understanding that you are the called will help you launch. But you've got to hang tight to your convictions and your faith to take you to this new spot. Now, I know all amazing stories have to end with some prince on a white horse setting off into the sunset. This one ends with Balaam dead, being killed out by an army because he refused to keep his eyes on Jesus and just chased after the money the whole time. I love the illustration in the story and the overarching that choice. Our merciful God, again, chance. But there was an end. What do you want for that next spot to be? think about it for yourself for just a moment. Just pause for just a moment. What is your next spiritual jump point? Your next conviction point? Your next giving back point? You're called, regardless of where you're at, gifts in the community, you're called volunteer, give back. You are equipped with everything that you need to get a job done. Hang tight to your convictions. Keep your eyes on Jesus. What's it going to take to jump you to that new plane? The beauty is the choice is yours. Let's stand together. Now, many of you are with a buddy today, and I'm not going to get you to put up a hand or anything that you think is odd. I am just going to ask simply that some point, sometime today, if you're wanting to make that next jump point, talk to the friend who you're with today. A friend may have brought you for the first time to church, a big grand welcome. We will return to our regular programming shortly. If that friend, it's not an if, that friend I know would love to listen to how you want to make that next jump point. For you, if you haven't received Jesus yet, that first jump point is putting him at the center of your life. It's not a big crazy thing, it's not a weird thing, but I know your friend would love to talk to you a bit more about it. If you're like, I already know Jesus, but I need that next jump point for what I'm doing with my own personal life, that's awesome. Let's do it. Talk to that friend about it. Let's see how we can move this thing forward together. There is a new place for you. There is a new higher thing for you. Keeping your eyes on Jesus is going to be at the center of it. If you want any of that, bow your head and pray with me. Jesus, we thank you so much for our friends who are with us today. Lord, for each one who doesn't quite yet know you, Lord, fill their heart to overflowing. Bless them in every way as they decide to begin their journey with you. We welcome you. We welcome them. Lord, for all my friends who are wanting to go to a new height, they're just feeling, it's not terrible, but something could go to a new place. I just feel that there is more. Lord, help us this week to keep our eyes set upon you. Jesus, that you would be centermost to all that we say. You would be centermost to all that we do. You would captivate our hearts, captivate our thoughts in every way. Lord, we want to be soul focused upon what you have for us. Lord, that the money, the things of this world, we know that you're going to take care of all of our needs as long as we put you and the kingdom first. Lord, this week, help my friend. Lord, whatever special way that they need to hear from you, Lord, we're bleeding for you to help them out. Put people in their path. Put that friend in their path to help encourage them along. Lord, and we thank you for the increase in all this area because we pray in faith, believing in you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Bless you.
Amen. At this point, the small group leaders and prayer partners are going to come forward. And as we continue in worship, we have an opportunity to come forward and partner with someone to seek God for whatever it is we're hoping for, praying for, or needing in our lives, whether it's launching into something new that God has for us or healing, whatever it is. This morning, bring your needs forward and believe for miracles to be done in your life. As the ushers come forward, we have an opportunity to give of our tithes and offerings, and this is a chance for those of us who call Calvary home to worship God with our finances, to worship God with all that we have. So however you choose to give, whatever you choose to give today, do so with a heart of worship.
Well, that was good. What a great day today. What a great word from Pastor Vince. Listen, if you're out this afternoon walking your dog through the park and he doesn't want you to go down a particular path, don't turn away from that. Listen to what he's talking about before he has to tell you what he's talking about. Next Sunday, Taste of the Nation Sunday, it's going to be a blast. This week, pray and think about who you can invite and bring. It's going to be fantastic. This is a great opportunity to bring people with you to church and taste some things that you've never tasted from all around the world. Our church is made up of so many different nations. We're one church, but we're many, many nations. And so next week, you'll have an opportunity to taste of some of those differences, some of the diversity that we here at our church celebrate. So I want to invite you, and I want you to invite others. And next Sunday, we're going to continue our launch series in September. It's going to be fantastic. We love you all. God bless. Stop by our Welcome Center on the way out if you have any questions about anything. We'd love to see you connect with a small group this fall and discover the life that's here at Calvary. God bless you all. Have a good day.